Father, in the name of Jesus, this morning again we come to your word, Lord God, knowing that your word can do its work in each of our lives. It can transform us, it can teach us, it can guide us. It can do, Lord God, whatever you have purposed for it to do to us, through us. And we pray, Lord, please, that this morning your word would speak. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Father. We love you, Holy Spirit. And we want you glorified, particularly now, Lord, in this time. Help me, please, to deliver this message. And may people take from it, Lord God, what you speak into their lives, please. In Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you who have been coming to Shiloh for some years know that I take inspiration at the start of every year. I take inspiration from Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth's Christmas broadcast for my first sermon in January. So, you know, everybody will be watching next year now. They'll be watching the Queen's speech to hear what my message is going to be about in advance. But obviously, you know, although I take inspiration from the Queen's message, I look first to the Lord for divine inspiration and say, Lord, I need you to help me to know what it is that you want me to say on Sunday. And taking inspiration from Her Majesty's message, I suppose I seek to honor her. You know, considering I'm probably the only pastor in the world with an anarchy tattoo on my arm, you know, I seek to honor Her Majesty's message. In my house, you don't speak when the Queen's speech comes on. You could get put out through the window very quickly. You listen to the Queen's speech. And in taking inspiration from her, I suppose I seek to honor her, and I seek to respect what she has to say. But I might add that although I respect what Her Majesty often has to say, it doesn't necessarily mean that I agree with everything that she says. Did anybody actually listen to the Queen's speech? I think it's a church full of Republicans. Shocking. Absolutely shocking. I'll be signing you up to Sinn Féin next. I listen to it every year. And not only do I listen to it every year, I listen to it about 6 or 7 times afterwards, you know, because you can go onto YouTube and all now, it's a class, and listen over and over again. But in her Christmas broadcast, Her Majesty looked back at some very significant events, such as the moon landing. And I know there's people like Kathy Godhelper who believes in the flat earth policy, and that the moon landing never happened. A Godhelper. You see, I have spies watching on Facebook. But the Queen mentioned, you know, the moon landing. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. And she said, it's a reminder for us all that giant leaps start with small steps. And next, she spoke about the D-Day landing. I would recommend you go onto YouTube and watch it and listen to it. She spoke about D-Day landing, and the last year was the 75th anniversary of that. And she talked about past differences between warring nations being put behind us, suggesting reconciliation seldom happens overnight, but it takes patience and time to rebuild trust, and progress often comes through small steps. Then she spoke of the birth of Jesus, and I mentioned it in my prayer. In fact, Kathy was praying my sermon in this morning. I thought I'll just pack up and go home and let Kathy do it. But the Queen said this about the birth of Jesus: a seemingly small and insignificant step overlooked by many in Bethlehem. But she remarked, in time, through his teaching and example, Jesus Christ would show the world how small steps taken in faith and in hope can overcome long-held differences and deep-seated division to bring harmony and understanding. Now, a lot of that's old cack, and I don't believe it. But it's nice in what she's trying to present. But this is the most important part, and I could just listen to it over and over and over and over again. The next words from Her Majesty's lips truly blessed me. Speaking of Jesus, she said this: many of us already try to follow in his footsteps. Now, I don't know what you read into that, but I know what I take out of it. Many of us all ready to try to follow in his footsteps. And she finished with these words. The path, of course, talking about life and its journey, the path, of course, is not always smooth and may at times feel quite bumpy. But small steps can make a world of difference. It is often the small steps, not the giant leaps, that bring about the most lasting change. Hear that? It is often the small steps, not the giant leaps, that bring about the most lasting change. And in the video that we just watched entitled Giving is the Best Communication, we saw how one small step, the wee boy had stolen medication because his mum was sick. The shop owner was going ballistic over it, and then this other takeaway guy came out and paid for the medication and sent the wee boy with the vegetable soup home. 30 years later, and the man who's in hospital, very ill, and a massive bill, hospital medical bill, presented that they thought they were going to have to sell the business and everything. And one small step, one small act of kindness led to a beautiful outcome, a beautiful lasting change. Because the young boy who stole the medication for his mum never forgot the kindness shown to him. 30 years later, as a doctor, he was in a position to return that kindness. The small step, the small act of kindness by that shopkeeper led to his life and his livelihood being saved. Turn please to Ephesians chapter 2, if you have a Bible with you. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're reading the first 10 verses. Paul writes, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and not of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Verse 8. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You know, thinking about the birth of Jesus nearly 2,000 years ago, as Her Majesty said, a seemingly small and insignificant step overlooked by many in Bethlehem was just another baby being born. And indeed, overlooked by many in Bangor in 2020. This seemingly small and insignificant step has undoubtedly brought about the most lasting change in countless lives of people who've trusted in him. The transformation faith in Jesus initiates in the lives of followers may be viewed either by themselves or by others as just a seemingly small and insignificant step. Do you ever think, you know, when you become a Christian, you think, you know, well, you're going to be holy the next day? You know, we're singing, "Purify my heart, I want to be holy, I choose to be holy." And when you become a Christian, you think, you know, you're going to be like Mr. Ben who comes out before you knew Jesus. Mr. Ben, you leave your home and you're somebody different every day. People call you names and everything. And then when you become a Christian, you think you're going to come out, you're going to be Mr. Perfect or Mrs. Perfect, until you realize you're not. And then you start looking at the change, you know, giving your life to Jesus, and you think, well, really, you know, it's a seemingly small and insignificant step because it doesn't seem to be making much difference in my life. And you could be 30 years as a Christian and still look at that time when you give your life to Jesus and look at your life, because as I was saying a few weeks ago about how we carry this body of death, you know, we have a dead body attached to us that we can't get rid of, and it's putrefying and it's decomposing and it's never going to change until we lose it in death and then we go to be with the Lord. So we carry this body of death with us, and we think, is there any change happening in my life? But let me tell you, when you give your life to Jesus, without any doubt, it brings about everlasting change. The Apostle Paul speaks of this in his letter to the Christians here, as we read in Ephesus, and he says this: You, speaking of Jesus, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Is that not a change? That's not an insignificant small thing. You, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. All followers of Jesus, like the rest of mankind, were once dead to God. Were dead to all of the things of God. We could not discern spiritual things because we were dead to God spiritually. We were like the zombies. We were the walking dead on the earth, cut off from the life of God and cut off from fellowship with him. And without Jesus, the rest of the sinful, unbelieving world, like the rest of the sinful, unbelieving world, we too were doomed to destruction in hell. But through faith in Jesus, we've been made alive to God. We've been born again. Yeah. Now, does that sound like a seemingly small and insignificant step? Paul also says, he raised us up to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Many of you feel this morning that you're sitting on a throne in heaven. And many of you wish you were sitting on a throne in heaven. And yet God's word says he raised us up to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Once dead to God, we've been made alive and have been exalted to the high position of sitting with Christ in the heavenly realms. Now, it's obvious that you're sitting here this morning in Shiloh, or the people who are watching on Facebook are sitting in their homes or wherever watching. They're not sitting in thrones in heaven. It's obvious. And we may not feel much like someone who's seated with Christ in heavenly places. But such is the guarantee that that small, insignificant step of Jesus coming into the world, that seemingly small and insignificant step of Jesus coming into the world to die for our sins, that seemingly small and insignificant step that we took to receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, this is saying to us, here is the guarantee that even though you don't feel like it, it is as though you are already seated with Christ in heavenly places. Such is the guarantee of his promise of heaven to those who trust in him. It is as if we are already there. Also, we're seated in heavenly places with Jesus because, as we learn through the great high priest element, because our names are inscribed on his heart. Does that seem like a small and insignificant step? Well, Paul goes on. He did this that he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace. When I read this, I always think of Mr. Kipling, but then I'm greedy like that. I like my buns. And Mr. Kipling makes exceedingly good cakes. And when I get to this passage in the scripture, he did this that he might show us the exceeding or the exceedingly riches of his grace. It just blows me away. The birth of Jesus, a seemingly small and an insignificant step, would lead to him eventually going to the cross and dying to pay the debt for our sins and being raised again from the dead for our justification. This is incredible stuff. All of this was done simply to demonstrate the immeasurable love of God for us. This was why this was done. Nothing. There was no other reason. All of the God's great salvation plan that includes you, that includes me, that includes people watching on Facebook, or as was prayed this morning in the early prayer meeting, it includes the people out there in the wider community who are elected onto eternal life, who just don't know it yet. It includes all of these people. And yet all of this was done simply to demonstrate the immeasurable love of God for us. And finally, Paul says, God gave salvation to us as a gift of his love. How incredible is that? That God loves us so much that he sent Jesus into the world to die, and then he would give us, because he loves us, the gift of salvation. All of this was done for us and is given to us simply because God chose to do it. And I know we struggle to get our head around some things in the Bible, but there is nothing that you offered God towards your salvation. There is nothing. You were dead. A dead person can't offer anyone anything. I was reading during the week about offering people giving their bodies up to medical science. Mine would be returned. But I just think, you know, the dead body, at least, it's being offered for medical purposes, but the actual cadaver itself can do nothing. And so dead people cannot offer God anything towards their salvation. It has to be a gift of God. And it is that gift of salvation that comes to us through faith in Jesus, the faith given to us by God himself, that allows us to become children of God. And it's all done simply because God chose to do it. Nothing we've done or haven't done caused this to happen. God, in his abundant grace through faith in Jesus, saved us. We didn't conjure up the faith either. It is a gift of God. God, in his abundant grace, has through faith saved us in Jesus. The birth of Jesus, as the Queen said, a seemingly small and insignificant step, overlooked by many in Bethlehem and overlooked by many in Bangor in 2020, has undoubtedly brought about the most lasting change in countless lives of people who've trusted in him. In Ephesians 2 verse 10 says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." For we are his workmanship. We have always been God's workmanship. There's never been a time, I suppose, if you're looking at it in the grand scheme of things, when we were never God's workmanship. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, I hope this morning that every born-again Christian has a burning desire to want to serve and honor the Lord, that you have a passion in your soul for Jesus, to honor and to glorify his name. Well, God has told us that we Christians are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The good works spoken of here in this passage, the good works are the small steps that bring about the most lasting change. And it's the good works, the small steps that God has created for us in Christ Jesus to do. It may be something that you do that seemingly is small and insignificant. It may be decades, like that video, 30 years later. It may be decades before we see any manifestation of the lasting change that our good works bring. But if our good works are the good works that God has created for us to do in Christ Jesus, they will always bear fruit. You know, too many Christians run before they've learned to walk. They want to try to save the world. I remember when I became a Christian in 1984, I was down the seafront every night of the week trying to save the whole of Bangor. And I'm getting disappointed every night when people just weren't interested. But then they were dead. They couldn't understand, they couldn't discern spiritual things. They were dead to God and dead to the things of God. And to try to shake a dead person to get them to understand something really doesn't work. But I was so excited and so thrilled. And I just wonder this morning, you know, how many of us when we first became Christians were so excited, so enthused, and wanted to tell everyone and wanted to see the world saved for Jesus. Well, that can also be a case of that as Christians, too often, we want to run before we've learned to walk. We want to try to take the giant leaps before we've learned to take the small steps. Too many Christians want to run before they've learned to walk. They want to try to take giant leaps in Christianity before they've learned to take the small steps. But as Her Majesty the Queen said, it is often the small steps, not the giant leaps, that bring about the most lasting change. It is often the simple acts of kindness, the sacrificial giving of ourselves in sincere humility and genuine service to the Lord and others, the good works that we are called to do that bring about the lasting change. So let me just say this morning, Christian, as we go forward into this new year, let us do so in the knowledge that we have been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And let us look to the Lord to help us to take the small steps that will bring about the most lasting change in the lives of others and in our lives too. Who knows? Perhaps one small step, one small act of kindness, one good work from God that you do this week, this month, maybe even this year, may lead to a beautiful outcome or an everlasting change for other people. May we, like Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, like she said, may we be among the many who already try to follow in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian, are you prepared to do the good works that God has prepared for you to do? Are you prepared to take the small steps and try, instead of trying to go for the giant leaps? Are you prepared to take the small steps? Because it is often the small steps, not the giant leaps, that bring about the most lasting change. Maybe there's someone this morning here, or someone watching on Facebook or listening to our podcast, and you're not yet a Christian. Well, perhaps for you, the birth of Jesus nearly 2,000 years ago was a seemingly small and insignificant step. I mean, women have babies all the time. Maybe it was overlooked, just like in Bethlehem. Maybe it's overlooked by you as nothing of any great importance. Do you view the death of Jesus in the same way? Maybe the birth, you know, was a seemingly small and insignificant step. But do you view the death of Jesus for your sin as a seemingly small and insignificant step, and it's just sort of overlooked by you? Well, these seemingly small and insignificant steps overlooked by you were God's demonstration of his love for you, to rescue you from the reign of Satan, sin, and death. And I have the delight to tell you today, there is salvation for you today if you will trust in Jesus and seek to take the small steps
that will undoubtedly bring about everlasting change in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in this simple message this morning from your word, we thank you for those of us who know you and love you, that we recognize that we were once dead in our trespasses and sins, cut off from the life of God, cut off from fellowship with you. But thank you that by grace, through faith in Jesus, we have been saved. We have been born again into your family. And you call us now, Lord God, to walk in the good works that you have created for us to do in Christ Jesus. And I ask, Lord, that each of us as we go into 2020 will do so with a zeal in our hearts, with a burning passion, Lord God, a desire to honor you, to take, Lord God, the small steps that I believe, Lord God, will bring about the most lasting change in our lives and in the lives of others. Help us, Lord, as your children, to trust you. Help us when it seems, Lord God, like nothing significant is happening in our lives. Help us to realize the significant things that have already happened, all because of Jesus. And let us get our focus right again. Father, thank you for the salvation that we have. And we pray, may our lives honor the Lord Jesus Christ, who purchased us with his own precious blood. And I pray, Father, this morning for those who don't know you, that they wouldn't treat the birth and the death of Jesus as a seemingly insignificant step. That they would realize that this is the most beautiful demonstration of your love for them. And may they take the small steps to repent and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, will you help them by granting them the faith to believe? For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.